For many people, a safari is a bucket list holiday, but what do these epic African adventures actually involve, and how can you get the best bang for your buck? Polo Kanila has just returned from Kenya's Maasai Mara. Polo, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Safari, where does the word come from?
So the word I discovered is a Swahili word. Swahili is the language along with English in Kenya, and it means journey.
Okay.
So it's a good way to describe it, because when you, I know what you're thinking of when you say safari, and you're picturing a jeep and people in it looking out at animals, and that is very much the basis of it. But there isn't just a single way to do it. You can do it for a couple of hours by, you know, showing up at the park gates or booking in a half day. You can do it. You can stay at immersive camps that go through whole levels of luxury. You can do hot air balloon rides over reserves and national parks. You can even do walking or cycling safaris. So it depends on where you are, who you're staying with and all of that. Mm-hmm.
Now, cycling when you're looking for the big five.
Well. You have to. Let me tell you, I've done a walking safari in Tanzania, and it was very short, maybe say 2 hours, because this has to be early in the morning or late in the evening due to the heat. There was a guide at the front and a guard with a gun
at the back.
And you are stick to the trail. And, you know, we'll return to that. But there's a glory in the small things as well as the big five on safari. Yeah. It's not just about those.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're told you've got to see the big five.
You are told the big five, which are the let me see if I get this, the lion, the elephant, the rhino, the buffalo and the leopard. And that is, it's one of the iconic lists in travel. But one tip I'll give from talking about safari is try and immerse yourself in it for longer than a couple of hours, because the longer you live in the world of these animals and this wildlife, the more your own world recedes into the distance and the more magical it gets. And you realise the big five is just a list of five. Isn't the cheetah on the big five? I sat last week watching two cheetahs sitting in the grass, and the spots on their coat and the look on their face is the most immaculate creatures you've ever seen. And one of them got up to have a look at an impala a couple of hundred yards away.
Lunch.
And started to stalk towards it. And you literally can hear the paws move through the grass. And it is so wonderful to witness that close up. That's not on the big five. But nor is a warthog, who every time we pass, you remember a warthog is Pumbaa in The Lion King. And they run at the slightest provocation. And the guys will delight in telling you that they run and then they forget where they're running. And then they stop and then they do it all over again. As the hours and the days unfold, you sort of build up a level of knowledge about these animals. And when you return then to the next cheetah or the next warthog, you start comparing them and you start referring back and forth. That's what's so unforgettable about it.
Now, were you in the vehicle all the time?
So I was on this safari, and the way a day, let's say you're staying overnight at a camp in a reserve like the Maasai Mara. And the way it'll work is you'll sort of show up for your first drive at about 6 a.m. and you'll be wrapped up because it's chilly and the sun is just rising and the animals are most active at dawn and in the cooler hours and then towards sunset. So you'll go out and you'll drive and the cars have these open sides and they have supplies and cooler boxes and so on, and you bring your binoculars and you bring your camera and you're warned, you know, you will never get out of the vehicle unless it's a strictly okayed place for a breakfast stop or something like that, or a sundown or drink. And the guide will typically have some intel, like we know there's a lions have killed a buffalo yesterday and it's in this location, and you'll go off and you'll have a look at that and you'll watch this scene unfold, and then word will come through of, oh, maybe there's been a leopard sighting over here. And so off you go and you'll follow that. But along the way then, you might round a bend and see a giraffe moving through the wilderness, like in slow motion.
And not one of the big five.
It follows its own kind of story, if you know what I mean.
No, but the giraffe is not one of the big five.
The giraffe is... I feel like even in terms of description, giraffe should be in their big five.
Yeah, it's a big animal, but it's very common.
It is common. You will see plenty, but there is something mesmeric about it. The one of the things we learned is that the females have longer eyelashes. We were learning how to identify them, and they literally flutter them. But they move. They're so enormous. That's the height of a lamppost, and they move with this weird grace. And have these blue tongues that wrap around the acacia thorns, don't get that stung, take the leaf, move on, completely oblivious.
Yeah, have you ever been licked by a giraffe's tongue?
I have never been licked. No.
I have as a child many times in Dublin Zoo.
Oh,
used
yeah.
to give them dog biscuits and that the giraffe would lick your hand after you'd given the dog biscuit.
Yeah.
Looking for more, obviously.
Yeah.
It's kind of like sandpaper licking your
hand.
Was
that the texture of it?
Yeah.
It's like
the hair on an elephant's back is like wire.
That's funny. And I know you know about elephants as well from growing up, but they're... to see them in the wild, there was one, a couple of moments where you see elephants can live up to 40 or 50 years or even more. Mm. You'll know this. They also are enormous, up to 5 tons in weight, the bulls. And in the Masai Mara, the huge tusks, gleaming white, a metre and a half long. And again, plodding along. Almost,
trying to protect these from the poachers is a real challenge.
It is a real challenge. And one that, so if you're choosing a safari holiday and you can... try and choose a company that is more responsible because, as you know, throughout Africa, there's Tanzania, Botswana, South Africa, you can safari in all kinds of countries, in all kinds of reserves, with all kinds of operators. And there can be fly-by-nights who are sort of going where they're not supposed to go and getting too close to animals and noisy and all the rest of it. And there can be very responsible organisations that give back as well.
Now, if you happen to lose an arm to a lion, are you covered by your travel insurance?
I love that you go to that example. It's a good question. So that is not specifically spelled out in your policy, but I'm glad I checked mine because safari will be included on most policies that you go to. And
by and large, because it's safe. If it wasn't safe, no insurer would cover you.
That's true, but you need to check whether yours with an Irish policy is organised by an Irish or a UK company. And that's important because the difference would be if you are travelling in South Africa and you say, oh, on Saturday, let's go on safari and let's just buy with this operator on the high street or whatever. Your Irish multi, your year-long travel insurance mightn't cover you in that regard. You need, in terms of getting ready, safari is not a decision you're going to say, let's go next week. I love the sound of this. It needs months of planning because you need to look at visas, vaccinations. You need to decide whether you're going to do it as a package. Book your flights. You know, are you going on a honeymoon where you might do a safari for the first few days and a beach afterwards or a city break afterwards? And you can go at all kinds of levels. I'll give you a couple of idea of prices. If you're doing a sort of a 10-day, two-week fly-drive holiday in South Africa, which a lot of Irish people would do for honeymoon, you can look at about 1,700 per person, and a safari would be a half-day thing. But then you can go for up to, you know, 3,000 for a week or so with a small group in Kenya, right up to thousands a night. I travelled with an Irish company called Hide and Seek Travel and stayed at Great Plains, who are really good on conservation. They do projects like relocating rhinos that are in threatened areas and female ranger projects and rewilding and so on. But their prices are at the higher end. I think one of my main tips on safari, Pat, is stretch if you can to a more comfortable experience because you really get what you pay for. If you get a guide that knows what they're talking about, if you get a company that can make sure you're one of one or two or three vehicles around, say a leopard as it emerges at dusk from a bush versus a sort of a really fast moving 14 car scenario and you have to be back at six and you have to be out. That's where the kind of the lasting memories and the magic is created.
One last thing. Go to a gig in the Aviva or in Croke Park or whatever, and people are hiding behind their phones for the entire gig, trying to get pictures of Taylor Swift. And there are much better pictures of Taylor Swift available from the concert videos that are available online. Be in the moment.
It speaks to how we consume experiences. And I'm conflicted about this because I did take a lot of pictures and videos and I like photography. And safari is wonderful for photography and learning about it. But you must remind yourself to put the lens or the phone down from time to time. And when you do that, and I can remember one specific moment when I did it, and we were watching lions and lion cubs, and a lion cub was playing with a lioness and the mother, and I could literally hear the breath and hear the clumping and thumping as they rolled around together. And just, I was reminded of a mom and her baby, or a cat and her kitten, and the rustling of the grass around you. And if you spend your time trying to get the perfect pic on your phone, which is never going to be as good as a lovely long lens photo, you're right, you miss that. So you have to get the balance of both.
All right, Paul O'Connella, travel editor with Irish Independent. Paul, thank you very much for joining us.